The mission of the National Association of Native Evangelicals is to equip, encourage, and unite the body of Christ related to Indigenous people and ministry for the glory of God. And so you stop and just think about those three godly principles or practices there: equipping, encouraging, uniting. I think that there are a lot of Christian workers serving tribal people where they don't feel fully equipped.
Welcome to Indigenous Faith with Craig and LaDonna Smith. For the next 30 minutes, we invite you to join Craig and LaDonna as they open God's Word and help Indigenous followers of Jesus Christ learn how to live a biblically healthy life in the context of their culture and tribal traditions. Craig is a member of the White Earth Band of Ojibwe Indians from northern Minnesota and is an author, public speaker, and gospel singer. LaDonna is from the Navajo Nation from the American Southwest. She is also a gifted singer and writer and a deeply committed student of God's Word. Together, they have served Christ for over four decades in a ministry that has taken them to Indigenous people all across North America and to a dozen countries around the world. Once again, thank you for joining us today for this week's edition of Indigenous Faith. And now, get ready to take a journey with Craig and LaDonna into God's Word to see what He has to say about living out an Indigenous faith that helps us all live lives that please Him and gives us power for victorious Christian living.
Well, hello, friends, and welcome to today's edition of Indigenous Faith. I'm Craig Stephen Smith. We welcome our first-time listeners along with those who've been with us for a long time. Hey, did you enjoy our recent study into the lives of some of the Old Testament kings as much as we enjoyed bringing those episodes to you? LaDonna and I learned so much as we did our own research in preparing for those episodes about both evil and godly kings, all who were given their positions of leadership by God Himself, and all for His divine purposes, right? And it's important for us as Indigenous believers today to understand that, the political leaders all throughout history are defined as either evil or good by God Himself. And it's all based upon what the Word of God has to say, right? That's what we've been presenting in these various visits to the kings of the Old Testament children of Israel. And, LaDonna and I, we really sensed an importance because we're in such a consequential time right now politically in our nation's history. We're in a big election cycle, but a lot of times we as Native people, we live in our res world and we live in our community, in our traditional culture communities, and sometimes don't have a real view of what's happening on the outside in the larger world. And, we've got to know what the leaders who are asking for our votes, what their positions are. And how would God describe them today as He described the Old Testament kings? Are they going down a road that promotes things that are contrary to God's Word? Well, we need to be as believers in Christ, as Indigenous followers of Jesus, not using the old grid, the old pattern of evaluating, these guys, they toe the party line, so he's got my vote. That kind of, we can't do that. What we got to do is understand, what do these people, these leaders who are asking for our vote, stand for, and how does it line up with what God considers righteous and good and biblical and holy versus the things that take people away from the godly things. In fact, as we saw throughout every single king who was described in the Old Testament as wicked, they were always leading Israel into syncretism. And that's a big focus, as you know, to our Indigenous Faith podcast. So it was a fascinating study that both LaDonna and I really enjoyed presenting to you. It broke our heart in some ways as we saw the wickedness that was being permeated, which is being mirrored today in modern American culture. I'll tell you, I think we made that case pretty clear. And but yet we rejoice when righteous kings ruled and brought God's people back to God-centered worship and living and so on, all based on what the Word of God teaches as righteous and good. So we're glad for those of you who were with us in those different studies, but we also rejoice that, our podcast continues to grow, and maybe there's some of you who are listening for the first time. This is your first visit with us to the Indigenous Faith podcast. We have a special focus in the next in today's edition and probably in a one to come after that, where we're going to be breaking away from our study time in the Word and just having a what I think is going to be a wonderful visit with some dear friends of LaDonna and mine. In fact, LaDonna's letting this be a guy's day, so we got a couple of guys who are leaders in their own right in the body of Christ working in and among our native people here in North America. And so LaDonna's going to take a little break from this session, and the next one she'll be back with us when we pick it up again, getting into more teaching. Our focus is centered around the leadership that God has raised up to serve His church. That's right, we're talking about leadership within the indigenous evangelical world that is located right here in the United States. And for those of you who are joining our growing audience from around the world, what these next few sessions could do is help you strategize how the indigenous leaders God is raising up within your ministries can serve your people both directly and also to the larger part of the body of Christ in your nations. I have here with me today two of my very good friends and ministry colleagues, and we're going to be discussing the birthing and the early days of a new organization that God is raising up in Native ministry within the borders of the United States. And it's an organization called the National Association of Native Evangelicals, NANE for short. And we have with us today a couple of the guys who, along with myself, who have been burdened about seeing this kind of organization established among our people and are working hard in laying the infrastructure for this National Association of Native Evangelicals. I have with me, first of all, a brother I've known for many years, grew up in the Northland here in our region, on the Red Lake Reservation. His dad was a missionary up there and grew up in that community and went on for studies in the Chicago area, and God has brought him back to the Northland, and I'm so glad he did. My dear friend Paul Straubel. Paul, welcome to the podcast today. Paul is the director of the Center for Indian Ministries with Oak Hills Fellowship, located in Bemidji, Minnesota. Good to see you, Paul.
Yes, good to see you, Craig, and just excited for what the Lord's doing.
Wonderful. And I have another brother who I just love and appreciate so much. We go back, I think, longer than both of us originally thought we go back. His name is Ryan O'Leary. Now, that's a real good Ojibwe name. O'Leary, just like Smith is. But Ryan is from the Boys Fort band of Ojibwes here in northern Minnesota. Both these guys are stellar athletes. And Ryan went on in his athletic pursuits to play hockey with the University of Denver. Ryan, what years were you there at the University of Denver playing hockey?
I was there early 90s.
Early 90s, yeah. And early that's 90s. About the time LaDonna and I were living about an hour south of Denver in Colorado Springs. And our big team was the Colorado College Tigers, CC Tigers. And they would play Denver in hockey, and I remember the old World Arena there at the Broadmoor in Colorado Springs, going to cheer on the CC Tigers, you know, and there's the Denver University. I forget what you guys go by.
Pioneers.
The Pioneers. Yeah, the Pioneers.
I probably heard you yelling and screaming at me.
Well, that's what I'm trying to get to. You know, here's a guy out there who, with the name O'Leary on the back of his jersey, you know, you wouldn't think he's Ojibwe. And I'm sure there were many a time I screamed at the CC Tigers to, you know, to take you out in the boards, you know, or that kind of thing, and check you and get that guy in the penalty box for fighting or something. And here, come and realize that you've become a dear brother in the Lord to me, and we've worked together and served together. I remember a few years ago, I had the wonderful joy of asking you to come and join LaDonna and I to help administer the growing On Eagle's Wings Native Youth Ministry we were part of with Ron Hutchcraft Ministries, and you really served so well in that capacity, but you've had a lot of other ministry opportunities. Of course, pastoring local churches. You have worked for your tribe in economic or business development, right? And that kind of
tribal
thing. Some major major
tribal
stuff there.
Tribal administration, tribal government administration, and tribal economic.
Yeah. Plus, you went on earning your doctoral degree in ministry, doctor of ministry.
Well, it's the first one was in 2013 as a doctorate in ministry.
Yeah.
And then I'm just actually going to be defending my dissertation for it's a PhD program.
Well, that's tremendous, Ryan. I didn't realize that second part of it, and I'm excited about it. And, you know, we need the academic voice in Native ministry and leadership, and you bring that. So you've had a wide variety of ministry opportunities, all within the Native context, and I'm so blessed to have you as my brother in the Lord and colleague in ministry. We go back, like we say, a long way. Paul, the three of us, we've had a lot of shared histories in Native ministry together. Yeah, you came back to this area not really planning to, from what I remember in your story. Take a moment just to give us a little bit of that background, how God led you back to community I think you thought you'd never go back to.
Yeah, my dad pastored up in the Red Lake Nation from 1982 to 87, and we were, being a closed reservation, we were one of the only non-Native families at the time living in Redby there. And,
mm-hmm.
And you know, I have fond memories of, I learned a lot from the elders, but as a young boy, a lot of times, sometimes I get picked on because of my lighter skin. And by the time my dad was ready to turn it over to Native leadership and announce we were going to move south, I was jumping up and down thinking, I'm out of here. I'm never going to be in the ministry like my dad, and nothing to going to do with Native people or the Red Lake Nation again. But you know how that goes. The Lord,
yeah,
Lord has a bigger plan, and I
That's
praise
right.
God for
yeah.
that. Because at age 16, I was very much, I would say outwardly, a Pharisee, you know, doing all the things for my parents' sake, but not have an inward relationship with Christ. And I praise God for the opportunity. My dad wanted me to go to Northern Michigan, an old Native American family camp that's met ever since the Civil War, and many different Native tribes were there that summer. I'll never forget, because I sat in the back, and I was just under deep conviction as I looked around, and I saw the intimacy that so many of the tribal people there had for Christ, and realizing I didn't have any of it. I was a fake, and for my parents' sake. But and God used Native people to open my eyes of my need for Jesus Christ, you know, my Savior, and seeing my sin for what it was. And God used Natives to reach me for Christ. Praise God. And then in Chicago, that's where I first met you, as we were working at the Native American Indian Center there, and some of the Native students at the time, but had an opportunity to go to the Pine Ridge, and that in between my junior and senior year, you know, at that point in my life, my wife and I thought we're going overseas in missions, and Native American and First Nations wasn't necessarily on my radar. But as I went to Pine Ridge, South Dakota on a mission trip there with several students, there was a young lady that got up and said, you know, people come and go, but who will live among us and really teach us the Word of God? You know, we need discipleship. And the thing that I'll never forget, Craig, that she said, shared that day, she said, we are the people. We are the people that the church has forgotten.
Mm.
The rest is history.
Yeah.
God called my wife and I back to Red Lake Nation, got to serve there at the same church that my dad pastored, and there's no other place I'd rather be than with Native American and First Nations. So thankful to the Lord for that.
That's wonderful, and we're so glad you're back up in the Northland there, Paul. We love the partnership. You know, I'm thankful for the Word of God and the guidance it gives us in the scriptures. I think of a verse that's near and dear to, I know, LaDonna's heart, especially Psalm 133:1. It says, behold how good and pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. And you know, that's really why we're on this podcast today, discussing you know, our mutual interest and involvement in the birthing of this new organization. I don't know if we want to call it NANE or Nanny or Nain, or it's going to probably take a life of its own, take on a life of its own. But we're in the early days of building an infrastructure to this organization. I know we've shared a mutual burden. It's been a burden in my heart for many, many years since I, over the years when I was directing our Native ministry in the Christian and Missionary Alliance for all those years, and sensing, you know, there are times we feel like we're kind of, we're so focused in our own particular ministry, we don't see the larger work of God in evangelical ministry. But yet we interact with occasionally with leaders from different denominations and so on. Here in the United States, a lot of our Native ministry is denominational based versus Canada, where it's more independent mission based. So we kind of get along and get involved in our own denominational ministries, but there's a need for a larger collaborative body to represent the Native American ministry. Just like you said, Paul, that young lady's heart cry that we're invisible. You know, we're invisible in our own nation. When you look at the news, you listen to the nightly news. I mean, it's like and they talk about minority issues. They'll talk about the African American, the Hispanic Americans, oftentimes the Asian Americans, and now the newest minority, the LGBTQ group, is their own minority now. But I'm leaning in, waiting to hear, okay, are you even going to mention us as a part of this, part of our own nation that we're the indigenous people of, and we're never even a thought in the newsmakers when they report these things, the journalists and so on. So we're invisible in our nation, but also I think, and Ryan, I think you said it right, that the church sometimes has had has not had its focus the way it should be. And so there needs to be intentionality in a unified way of helping the larger body of Christ understand that we're here, we're active, we're seeing God at work. We have something to contribute to the larger body of Christ. And so, you know, really, within the last year or so, we've put some real intentional effort, the three of us and a few others who have joined alongside us in laying the foundation for this organization. We're working our way through the getting its organizational legs under itself and so on. But I'm really excited about the birthing of the National Association of Native Evangelicals. Along with this absence of consciousness in our nation, we never have had an opportunity to really have an equal seat at the table to represent our people. And that's what the organization is. Already we're seeing God's blessing and favor. We're going to talk about that as we get into the discussion today. But we now have a seat at the table, and this is been a need that we've seen all along. And again, I call it a shared burden between the three of us and others that have helped get behind us and agree together that this is really something we need to be doing, because the denominational leaders have a need for collectively hearing from one another, learning what's working in different denominational ministries and so on. But also, and this is more personal to me, guys, the issue is I've got a lot more days behind me than I have ahead of me. I am now one of those revered, honored Native elders, but it comes at a price. You know, I mean, I earned my elder stripes early with our accident 16 years ago. And, you know, I'm struggling physically. I just, as you guys know, just had another surprise 51st surgical procedure just a couple weeks ago, and still recovering from that, and I don't know how long I'll be around. I mean, that doesn't matter. What matters is there's going to be a time when the current senior leadership or senior elders who have been serving the Lord faithfully through a lifetime are one by one going home to be with the Lord, and there's going to be a need to have an organization established that will long outlast us. that will go long into the future. And I believe that's what the NANE structure is set up to do, and so glad to be a part of it. And maybe I'll go to you, Ryan. I'm going to ask you, you know, from your perspective as you saw this. I see you, my brother, even though I was sitting in the stands as an old man, but even back then, chewing you out, you know, in your hockey career.
Nothing's changed.
We're still at it. But anyway, you know, you're not a novice. You're not a new guy on the scene. You've accomplished great things in your life and ministry already. But I see you as kind of that middle age-wise representative of the generation that's following after myself and others of my age. And I see such strong leadership in guys like you. And Paul, I know that you see that as well. And we need to tap into that. We need to have an organization set up to have a place for the collaborative body and voice to not only do things for to help encourage our native ministry leaders, but also to represent our native work to the larger body. You've got a long life ahead of you, brother, and yet you're not a newbie. And maybe you can speak to that in terms of where you see that and your involvement in the birthing of this organization.
Yeah, some days I don't feel that young anymore. All those old injuries. Craig Smith cheering against me, but yeah, you know, I would say that, you know, I understand where you're coming from on that, where I've been around for a while now. People know who I am, and I would like to think that by God's grace, I still have a number of really good years ahead of me still. So I think a lot of it is also God's timing and things. God is often patient with us and working with us and gracious in so many different ways, and he's got a timing for everything. And so I just feel like now is the right timing. I know this is something that's been on my heart for a number of years. And for me, I talked to Paul about this a number of years ago, as he knows. And for me, it's also taking things to the Lord in prayer. And so I know I've also prayed about this for a number of years, and not just thinking up things that we can do in our own heart and our own life, but really having things put in our heart by the Lord, making sure they're of him, praying about it for years. And God has answered prayers, and now we see the fruition of this organization, the National Association of Native Evangelicals.
It's good. Paul, how about you? How have you processed this, which led up to your desire to be involved in getting this organized and up and running? I'd love to hear your journey in that part of your ministry life.
Yeah, like Ryan had shared, when God called me back in 2004, back to the Red Lake Nation, I just remember, you know, my father always raised me, and I saw the power of unity, where my dad would come into these small communities and begin praying with other pastors, sometimes denominations that would not work with each other. And as the power of prayer broke through, we began to see power of unity as we worked together. And so I just remember coming back to Red Lake and seeing what the layout was for ministry there and among the native people. And again, you have an enemy who likes to divide. And I began to see how so many denominations, they all want to see success, but it was so difficult to ever bring sometimes the challenge of bringing people together. And that's how the enemy works. And so when you think about NANE, and, you know, it makes me think of Nehemiah chapter 8, you know, it says that they came to the Watergate as one people, you know, united. And we know that wasn't always the case, because early in Nehemiah, it says eternally they were divided. But when they came together as one and Ezra brought out the word, you began to see a move of God. And so, you know, Ryan and Craig and other leaders, as we prayed about this, and we think of denominations that sometimes can separate and isolation and just the need for encouragement and working together, we as we prayed about this, Lord, as you open this door to have a strong collaboration, the power of unity of working together so God's church can continue to advance among Native and First Nation people, it was exciting to me. And I know that I just excited to see what the Lord's going to do through all of this. So
well, I know for me, I look at my involvement in it as, like I said, being on the more aged, senior, elder level now of having a lot more days behind me than ahead of me, as I said, that the urgency and importance of setting this up, getting something set up now, it's going to take time. It's going to take a little while to build the infrastructure and get get the larger number of our evangelical leaders, current leadership together, being open to and willing to join in the efforts of what this organization is going to be about. And it will truly be a representative body where, you know, right now Ryan is our first leader and so on. But, I mean, there'll be opportunities to come in the future when a new leader will be able to be elected from within the ranks and come up and succeed Ryan and others. And it's going to be this collaborative effort in many ways modeled after the larger National Association of Evangelicals in terms of their infrastructure and framework and so on. So that's kind of how, for me, it's like it's either now or never in terms of trying to see something like this begin to get established and birthed. And I've been so honored to serve with you guys in helping to lay the foundation for the organization. And things, righteousness moves slowly, and so does the development of organizations that serve the Lord. Sometimes it moves a lot slower than we'd like, but I think we're fine. We're on track with getting the ministries that this organization can and will do in the future launched. We want to do it the right way. We don't want to just jump into things. We want to prayerfully and with the wisdom of the body together, the emerging board of directors that we're starting with to get this going, with the collaboration of all of that together, I think we're going to see some good things moving forward in the future. And that kind of, in my mind, answers the so what issue or the so what question. What I mean by that is, I'll ask maybe each of you guys to just give us some of your thoughts on how do you see this new organization benefiting the, first of all, within our native ministry circles. How will this benefit, say, a local native pastor on the Navajo Reservation, on Apache Reservation, and up, say, in Wyoming, Wind River, or the Nez Perce in Idaho, or wherever the case might be? How do you see this organization benefiting the local churches and again, yes, the denominational infrastructures that are there to help serve them? It's a larger body, but it can have some very positive things come out of it.
Thank you for joining us today for the Indigenous Faith Broadcast. We trust that today's episode was an encouragement to you as you seek to live a biblically healthy life in the context of your Indigenous culture and community. Craig and LaDonna want to remind you that their Indigenous faith teaching is available on other platforms as well, including Craig's timely Indigenous Faith book, and in a 7-part video teaching series that can be used in small group settings, missionary training events, and even for non-native churches seeking to do short-term missions trips and in support of Indigenous ministry work around the world. Both the book and video series can be accessed at the Smith's online store at tribalrescue.com. Once ordered, all 7 videos in this powerful video series can be either downloaded to your personal device or played right from the files provided online. All you'll need is a good internet connection in the venue you choose to present the series. Craig is joined in the video sessions by his good friend and fellow Ojibwe pastor, theologian and Christian leader, Dr. Vern Charette. Together, they present close to 13 hours of teaching in this 7-part video series. To learn more, Craig and LaDonna encourage you to visit their tribalrescue.com website for more details and for instructions on how to order the book or the video series. While there, check out the other product they have available to help encourage and disciple Indigenous people around the world. So, until next week, we pray that God will continue to build you up in your faith and cause you to become strong in Him as you live out a God-honoring Indigenous faith. We'll see you next time.